George Sisenko is an 87-year-old veteran of the Spanish Civil War. At the age of 16, he left his home in France to fight against Franco's fascists with the anarchists of the Durruti Column in Spain. A dedicated, lifelong anarchist, George is still an active organizer as he travels and gives lectures on the significance of this important period in revolutionary history. 2006 marks the 70-year anniversary of the Spanish Civil War. George came to Montreal to give a presentation at the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair. I met him at DIRA, an anarchist lending library in Montreal, as he was browsing curiously through shelves of books. Here he talks about his life, the courageous people's war against fascism, and the present-day possibilities for anarchism. So I'm here with George Sisenko, who is in Montreal. He's giving a conference on Thursday night, and we're very pleased to have you in Montreal, George. This year, 2006, it's the 70-year anniversary of the Spanish Civil War, and you fought in the Spanish Civil War. Let's go back to 1936. Maybe you can talk a little bit about why you decided to fight in this war. How old were you at the time?
I was 16 years old at the time. After World War I, the people was still stigmatized by the First War, which had been a war of trenches. People were dying by the thousand. The discipline was terrible. Thousands of people had been shot just because they couldn't provide the piece of bread that they had to save for a special occasion. And we young people, we grew up more independent from the older people, completely independent. It was a gap in between 20 years difference, people old-timer and we young people. At that time, Hitler was rising in Germany, Mussolini in Italy, and the older people who participated in World War I, they were afraid that another war would come. And so they were tolerating. They wanted to keep the status quo, not to change anything, not even intervene. It was ostrich policy, put the head in the sand and disregard the danger. Meanwhile, we have seen that. Like, I was 16 years old, and I was smarter, or I had more vision than Roosevelt, who, in my impression, was one of the best president of the United States, who didn't see the danger. And Roosevelt, before he died, he recognized that if he hadn't helped the Spanish Civil War, the Republican, to fight the fascism, we could have avoided to have the World War II, where have been slaughtered 58 million persons. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we were powerless to do anything, most of us weren't even in age to vote. And these old people who were tyrant, they were dominating in France, in England, all the democracy of that time. When in Spain came the election, 1936, and the Popular Front won by 65%, we said, okay, now we have a place where really democracy will exist beside all the fear which existed around the world in Europe, mainly in Europe. But unfortunately, Franco, he was a fascist following the same line, political line, as Hitler and Mussolini. He rebelled, as you know, in July 1936, and he started occupying Spain little by little. Spanish people was pacific. Not all of them were going through the draft. They didn't have any use of arms. They were oppressed. They had very little resistance at the beginning. Mm-hmm. The center of resistance was Aragon and Catalonia. Mm-hmm. The anarchists were very powerful. And we people around the world, without any communication, without any agreement, without any calling to go to fight for the Republic, we swarmed to Spain from 54 countries. Mm-hmm. We were 42,000 volunteers going to Spain. It's the unique situation which happened in the history that people from 54 countries go to fight to a other country for the same ideal, preserve the democracy. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we French, coming from France, were the first in crossing the border. And when I saw in the in Barcelona, in the barracks, which have been called barracks Bakunin, people, German, Czech, Polak, we say, what are you doing here? And they said to us, Anil, what are you doing here? We came to fight for the Spanish Republic. And of course, I was 16 years old. I couldn't tell my parents that I was leaving because I was minor. They wouldn't have let me go. I ran away and I left a note telling to my parents, I love you very much, but I feel that the destiny of the world will be played in Spain. Mm. And I would never forgive myself not to participate in the future of the mankind without participating personally, fighting against the fascism. Mm-hmm. I love you, your son, blah, blah. And I changed my name. And I went to... I wanted to go to fight. I went to see the communists. They asked me in Paris, are you major? Are you 21 years old? No. Do you have an experience with weapon? No, we don't want kids who will start crying on the front. We need men who know experience and who know what they do, because the destiny of the world is here, and you're too young. I went to see the socialists, the same thing. And somebody told me, why don't you try the anarchist? And I went Place de l'Opéra in a shabby building. It was a guy sitting there smoking cigarette, beer belly, red nose, the wine drinker. He said, but I want, comrade. I said, I want to go to fight to Spain. Come the next week, we have a caravan going to Spain. He didn't ask my name, my age, whatsoever. So I ended up with the anarchist. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, they put us in, we were 15 more or less, in a small truck, and we drove from Paris to Perpignan. In Perpignan, there was an old abandoned hospital where it was a relay when the volunteers were stopped. The non-intervention didn't exist yet. It means the non-intervention, the League of Nations decided that we will close the border of Spain and no from the left or the right could send more people to fight there. Mm-hmm. Of course, it has been followed like that. They closed the border in France, but Hitler and Mussolini kept on sending soldiers. When we crossed the border during the night and we came to Puigcerda, mm-hmm. it's on the border of Andorra, Republic Andorra, and France. We have seen for the first time the anarchism working. Mm. They had three factories with 200-300 workers. The requisition of the factory, they kick out the owner, they name a group who was running the factory, and same wages for everybody. Responsibility was going by the knowledge, technical knowledge, but no bosses. No bosses, there was a committee who was in charge of running the factory. The farmland, they had a big farm, Lord farm owners. They have been expropriated and they made cooperatives. Those who had 20, 30, 40 acres, they let them have it and they could remain by themselves. People who had a business whatsoever could have one or two employees, and big businesses have been all that nationalized. The hospital were run also by the city. It was in between the doctors, the nurses, the employees. They had also a little monastery, about 20 or 30 nuns. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, ladies, there is no more God. He's gone, and we have to close the business, and you do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And so some of them went to work in the hospital. Some other left the country, went back home someplace. And one of them remained with one of the milicianos who were closing the cluster, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were laughing after that. Everybody was laughing, say, I want my little nun. I want to have a little nun, you know. It was such a jovial atmosphere, mm-hmm. such a feeling of freedom, that we were singing and the people were hugging each other. At that time, I didn't speak any Spanish because we were French, all French. We stayed a few days in Puigcerda. We took the train. We went to Barcelona, which was the Bakunin barracks. There, we received the uniform from the barracks, which was the Tercio. Tercio is one of the Spanish unit. And they sent us to Aragon. Aragon had the army, anarchist, like I said, Aragon and Catalonia were run by the anarchists. We were in the army of Durruti, the legendary Durruti. First of all, we came to Caspe. We have seen the same anarchist organization. Everything was run by the people who were working there. No bosses, no capitalists. Everything belonged to the people who were running or involved in the business. Mm-hmm. They sent us to the front of Asile. It's north of Caspe. That's where our training, unfortunately, we couldn't afford to waste time in training. We elected our chiefs, we told us to make a group of 11 men, each group, and to elect one who would be our in charge of us. And we have selected Juan Miguel Ballester, who was a very well-known anarchist who threw a bomb against a governor in 1931, and he had to run away. He went to France. He lived in France at that time. And he came with us among all the group. He was with a woman at the time. I just met him in Paris when we were leaving. She has a little baby. And when we were running on the bus, driving to going to Puigcerda, I told her, that's your wife. He said, that's not my wife. We anarchists don't have wife. That's my companion. Mm. And that's your child? Yeah, that's my daughter. Anyhow, making a little in parentheses, it was 2 years ago, we had a big party in Spain celebrating. We go almost every year to Spain. Mm-hmm. I have a picture of the group who was fighting with us. I show, naming one by one the people. I show also, that's Juan Mayor Ballester. Mm. One lady, she came running, and she said, show me. And I show her the picture. And she said, that's, we say it's Juan Mayor Ballester. I say, yeah, it's Juan Mayor Ballester. And then she starts screaming and running away, and she said, That's my father. Mm. And I regret that I couldn't stop her. But she kept screaming, that's my father. And I never have seen her back. Mm. Then I remember about the little baby that the Juan. Well, our training was, we had a gun and 100 bullets. And so we had one Spanish officer who stayed with us, Capitan Navarro. He said, well, you will have a very short training. We went to a ravine, a and on the other side there were some stones, about 100 meters. He said, you have 5 bullets to choose a name. You have an old bottle or a piece of a stone or something, and shoot at that, and so you will be acquainted with your gun. That was mm-hmm. my military training to start the battle. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, of course, at the beginning, when the Franco sent against us, at that time Franco had the Spanish army was one of the best of Europe. They had the mercenary, they had the Spanish army, they had the Foreign Legion, and they had the Moor, the Arab, who were coming from Morocco. Meanwhile, like I said, some of us never have seen a gun. Mm-hmm. But of course, like it goes the saying that the gun is not shooting by itself. You need a finger to pull on the trigger. Mm-hmm. And to pull the trigger, in addition of the finger, you need to have guts. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And so when we were fighting, of course, we had a lot of losses. We had a lot of losses, but we will keep attacking and at least stopping all the Spanish army. When Franco was taking little by little all the towns, meanwhile the International Brigade, that in October 28, we were called before Miliciano. Then came the order to call us Brigadista. Brigadista. Mm-hmm. Miliciano and Centuria, it was the group of 100, it like a company. Mm-hmm. And we were transformed the word on brigade, mm-hmm. in brigade. We tried to put some discipline and military knowledge to be able to fight against a military professional army. Mm-hmm. When at the end of 1936, Franco was approaching Madrid, he was very close, and the Spanish people didn't have a guts or will or desire or ability to fight against this mercenary. Mm-hmm. They were not big resistance. Franco came to 10 or 15 kilometers from Madrid, and he said, the next week I will be eating in such and such restaurant, and he gave the name of one of the luxurious restaurants in Madrid, and so make a reservation, I will be eating there. And so the government decided to send the international, group international. And when we came to Spain and all this professional army attack us, we stay, we did move. The Anglo-Saxon lost in 1 week the third in between death and wounded, English and the American Abraham Lincoln Brigade. But we did move. And all the world was surprised. How come they were calling us civiles con fusiles? It means civilian people with guns. Mm. They didn't move. We mm-hmm. didn't move. I didn't have any idea to move. I went there to fight, not to run away. Mm-hmm. And same anybody of us was there to be fighting.
Mm-hmm. Many people view the Spanish Civil War as an exciting period in history because it was, in a lot of ways, a people's war. You were describing before just regular people not associated with any government, particularly anarchists, specifically taking up arms to fight fascism. One thing in particular that was very interesting was the role of women in the Spanish Civil War. There were groups like the Free Women of Spain. Can you talk a little bit maybe about the role of women in the Spanish Civil War? Did you see many women fighting the barricades of women?
What we had, battalion of women, only women, no men. Or we had commander who were already with experience. And women, yes, we had, and they behaved wonderfully. They really were a lot of guts. There were women who have been participated in action, and are from family, from working family, and they had an ideal, very strong ideal to fight for that. Now, the anarchists were very strong in idea, and like I said, Aragon and Barcelona were the source to organize the anarchist movement. Unfortunately, when came the non-intervention agreement, the border in France was closed, and all the weapons that the Spanish government spent millions of dollars to bring weapons have been left on the other side of the border in France. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Hitler and Mussolini, they kept sending weapons and men. It was a time that Mussolini had almost 100,000 soldiers. At the beginning, the Italian were volunteering to come to fight in Spain, but they were revolutionary. And at the first occasion, they were passed to us. Mm. But after that, he started sending the black shirt, which were the fascists, and they were really, they were fighters. And so comes a moment we didn't have any help. Then came Russia. The Soviet Union starts sending weapons, advisor, and also some volunteers, but mainly advisor, tanks, guns, airplane. And of course, they wanted to have the domination by the communists. And so we heard about the skirmish, the problem which happened in Barcelona and between the Trotskyist and the communist and the anarchist also intervened. But it has been overinflated. It has been overinflated. It wasn't so bad because in our army, anarchist army, we had a lot of Russian food. But they wanted Stalin, the intention was to win Spain for the communism. That was the main thing. Now, what happened that Spain has been betrayed by the democracy. Mm. Because meanwhile, the border was closed from United States. General Motors sent 3,000 trucks to Franco in credit line. Mm. The Texaco was selling oil, gas to Franco in credit line. Meanwhile, we weren't receiving anything. It was completely blockade. And came a moment when it was a big blunder. The only army which was really strong and we were fighting all over, we were not too many, we were only 40,000. When they needed us, we would go and we would stop really the Franco. Mm-hmm. But when the intervention, non-intervention, started working in 1938, it was an agreement that the German and Italian would leave Franco territory and the International Brigade will leave the Spanish Republic. But they didn't leave, and we left. You know, we left. And it was a memorable day in 1938 in Barcelona. The internationals were parading. And it was even a comment which remained historical that somebody said, they learned how to fight, but they didn't learn how to parade, you know, because they were not really military. And the ranks were broken, the girls were coming, kissing and hugging, and tears. And that's when Passionaria said, you came from other country to fight for our ideal, mother, sister, woman, come to greet this hero who abandoned their homes, abandoned their lives just to come to fight for us. But don't forget that when we will win and the peace will be reigning, you will come back because that's your country. Mm-hmm. It was very moving, all that. Mm. And after that, it's very well known. In a few months later, Spain was defeated completely. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of Republicans crossed the border and went to France. They went to France, interned in concentration camps, and the Germans came over. They shot a lot of them. Some of them left. Doluti had been killed in October 28 in Barcelona. We had a lot of real hero. He had been killed after that, or taken prisoner. And I left before because my father learned that I was there, and mm-hmm. he worked out to take me out from Spain before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if, like I said before, if the democracy would have been courageous to stop Hitler, just to not allow the German and Italian to come to help Franco, we could have defeated Franco. Mm-hmm. We could have saved 58 million people who died in World War II. Mm-hmm. But it was too late, and Roosevelt recognized it. He said the biggest blunder of his life was not to help the Spanish Republic, which would have avoided to have World War II.
Mm-hmm. Next weekend, you will be speaking at the Anarchist Book Fair here in Montreal, which is a large anarchist gathering. And one thing that's interesting is that it shows that there still is an active anarchist movement 70 years later here in Montreal. Can you talk a little bit about the anarchist movement, maybe compare it today and how you see it today with the way it was back then?
It's a very good point. At that time, or my youth and the Spanish Civil War, or rather go back before that, it was a kind of litigation between the communist movement and the anarchists. The communists didn't show anything effective, and the anarchists was recruited mainly about among intellectual people, convinced people. The first country who tried to put some dirt on the anarchists was in the United States, Sacco and Vanzetti and the Marketplace, and you know, that were originated the May 1st, mm-hmm. the Day of the Labor in 1886. Mm-hmm. They tried to show that the anarchists are just terrorists throwing bombs, whatever, which always have been faked. It was never proven. With Sacco Vanzetti, they didn't commit any crimes. The same to the Marketplace. Somebody threw a bomb and killed some of the cops, and they came and they started killing the worker. The communists were organized, but we never have seen really what they're able to. Now, suddenly came the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union had a big group of anarchists. You know very well that Kropotkin and Bakunin were Russian, and they had the Russian participation in Russia, but they wanted to collaborate with the communists, but Makhno, and they sent them in jail. But still, they had the chance because we didn't know. Nobody knew what they will do. Now, elapsed already 60, 70 years, and we know that the communists, what happened to the communists? We have Stalin for 50 years. The election, he's there. He was there until he died. We have Mao Zedong. He stayed over there until he died. Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam, he stayed there. Tito was until he finished. Mm-hmm. We have even Castro. I respect him, but he's always there. Yeah. And so it becomes, they were saying, dictatorship of the proletariat. I would say the proletarian dictator. They're coming to have a proletarian dictator. Mao Zedong, Stalin, and all that. And they're here, they want to be there. And worst of all, we start fighting together, the anarchists, us, and the communists, to destroy the classes. To destroy the classes. We cannot accept that. We have, for instance, like in the United States, 40 million people who live with less than $10,000 a year, mm-hmm. and we have 1% of the people who can spend $100,000 a day. That's not admissible, that. Mm-hmm. We have homeless, we have children who don't have a piece of bread, and so we don't equality and no classes. both of us, we had the same ideal. But the experience showed that the communists failed. They failed. Why? Because Bakunin said, the power pervert the men. Mm-hmm. The power. Give you power over me, you will take advantage. Give me power over you, I will take advantage. It's human, and we cannot change it. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's something, it's biology. We have that in biology. And so we had to adapt ourselves to a situation and create such a justice in human way as we can do it. And that what has been shown in every places where the anarchism has worked. I saw it working in Puigcerda. I saw it working in Caspe, in Aragon, in Barcelona. Big factory run by the anarchists. I go to Spain almost every year, and they are organized so well, the anarchists. There is no class. What kills a revolutionary movement is class and authority. You have your job, you are a boss, you need the help, you need the chauffeur, you need the house, you need, you understand? You take more and more prerogative, and that's what the anarchists never had shown. We have all our leader, we could call it Makhno, and Kropotkin, and Bakunin. They try to eliminate the difference in classes. And I feel that the anarchism has very much more possibility now than 50, 60, 70 years ago. And it's growing. In Spain, for instance, all the syndicate, the most important union, are run by the anarchists. The CNTFI.
Still today.
Now they are. It's the union of the construction. It's a big construction union. They're powerful. When they decide something, everything is stopped in Spain. And in Mexico, they have certain power. In Brazil, they have power. But you can see that you have a power from a big amount of people without bosses. That's unique. Mm-hmm. And that's what communism, that's why the communism is going downhill, because the usurpation, nomenclatura, the bosses, the commissar, that we don't have that. All of us, we run something without being boss, chief, or superior to anybody. That's the difference. That now it's much stronger than before, and I feel that the opportunity we have now, even a country like United States, which the proletariat is still sleeping, mm-hmm. the proletariat, because they build up the image that if you don't succeed, you're stupid. And so the guy who doesn't succeed, who loses his job, he's in the corner, and he say, I'm stupid. Meanwhile, in Europe, no, in France also, the anarchism is growing. I am a citizen of this country, and the government has to help me. I'm sick, I cannot work, they have to give me housing and food. You understand? That's anarchist, because he's a human being. We're human being. For the capitalism, the defeated, the poor, the sick, they're outcasts, they can die. They're not even human being. The homeless, we have in Atlanta homeless, we kick them from one place to another. Mm-hmm. No, that's no way to treat a human being. You have to give, like in Europe they have socialism. It's much better than capitalism, but it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. And the places where I have been, where I live, where the anarchism has been applied, it's successful. No usurpation. And company factory up to 2,000 workers can work without a boss. Just people who organize a system. And the system without power, not giving the power to anybody. And it's feasible. The union, the anarchism, syndicalism, that is really the future of the mankind.
We've been speaking with George Sosenko, who's in Montreal for the Anarchist Book Fair this year. to give a talk on the Spanish Civil War. Thank you so much, George, for sharing all that experience with us.
I am really very touched and very happy that I had the opportunity to talk to other comrades who will be listening to me. And I'm sure that I will see some of them during the weekend at the book exposition.
Viva la Quince Brigada! No passerán the pledge that made them fight. Adelante was the cry around the hillside. Let us all remember them tonight.
You've been listening to an interview with George Sisenko, a veteran and anarchist of the Spanish Civil War. This piece was produced by Aaron Lakoff for the CKUT Community News Collective in Montreal.
Side by side, they fought and died in Spain.